This is Weekend Ag Matters, produced by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and News Talk 1540 KXEL. Here are your hosts, Anna Hastert and Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to yet another episode of Week in Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Anna Hastert, your host this week, joined by Dustin Hoffman, as well as Ken Root. Dustin, welcome back to yet another show.
Yeah, it's been a busy week here for us at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Actually, it's finally wrapping up a busy month for me. I think I saw the windshield more than I did my own office this month.
Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, Dustin, it's been a busy week for us. We were at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois earlier this week. A lot of things happening at the show. There's always a lot of new things on display there. But one thing that really stuck out was Secretary Sonny Perdue stopped at the show and spoke to media there as well as farmers. And unfortunately, and probably disappointing, we don't really have anything new on what's going on the trade front or with the renewable fuel standard. Really didn't get a timeline for either of those topics. But Secretary Perdue assured us that they are working on both of these things. We expect to see a deal in regards to the renewable fuel standard and the small refinery waiver exemptions that we've been seeing getting handed out here recently. Some kind of a package that works for both ethanol producers as well as those small refineries that are facing economic hardships. So expecting a deal coming from that in a couple of weeks here. But Dustin, aside from the Farm Progress Show, what else have we seen happening here this week?
You know, you mentioned trade and not sure where that's going to go. We did find out at the beginning of the week here that there was a framework agreement reached between the United States and Japan to get something going here. And, you know, when Chief Ag Negotiator Dowd was in town earlier this year, he said we have a lot of trade dominoes and we're waiting for one to fall. You know, we're talking Japan, we're talking USMCA, we're talking China, talking the EU and more. Now getting Japan and hopefully getting the same level playing field for agriculture that they would have gotten in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, hopefully that now signals one of the dominoes falling. Since then, we have heard from the president that, you know, China had called him twice within the week or called their negotiating team twice that over the weekend saying, hey, we want to go back to the table and get this thing ironed out. And now the big push right before Congress goes back to work in September is now we've got to get USMCA done. We heard from Sonny Perdue. We heard from Senator Grassley earlier in the week when he came to Des Moines with Tom Vilsack at the A&E Dairy in Des Moines. He made the comment as well. All of them made the comment that there seems to be a lot of bipartisan support, and now seems to be the time to get that done.
Yeah, Dustin, well, that's it for a quick wrap of the news from the week. Stay tuned. We're going to kick it over to my segment for the show. Now, I'd like to feature an interesting and important interview I collected at the Farm Progress Show. I hope you'll pay close attention to the segment, as well as take all that is said into serious consideration. Numerous factors are weighing on United States farmers and ranchers, including market volatility, trade talks, and historic flooding. These pressures not only impact your financial well-being, but mental health. A multinational pharmaceutical and life sciences company is working to squash the stigma associated with talking about mental health through an initiative called Farm State of Mind. AJ Homan, U.S. Marketing Manager for Bayer Crop Science, spoke to this initiative at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. Join here at the 2019 Farm Progress Show with AJ Homan. He is U.S. Marketing Manager for Bayer. AJ, today you guys are talking about a new initiative that you guys launched called Farm State of Mind. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So, well, Bayer Seed Growth, our Acceleron brand of products, we've always been for providing solutions to farmers, right? We've been trying to maximize that yield, put more grain in the bin at the end of the day. However, this year, we really noticed an opportunity to really expand just beyond farmers and how their crops perform to really focusing on an initiative around mental health. This past year, let's put it frank, really sucked for a lot of farmers across the countryside. It's kind of been a perfect storm. When you look at the market volatility, you look at all the trade talks and the ups and downs that we've seen there, the historic, and I mean absolutely historic, flooding that we saw this past spring, a lot of preventative plant acres across the countryside. It's just been an extremely stressful year. Let's just call it what it is. So because of that, let's encourage folks to start talking about it, right? Farmers, we're all in this together. I know a lot of times it could seem like we're competition. You know, farmers and farmers are competition. Seed companies and seed companies are competition. At the end of the day, we're all in the same industry, and we need to have each other's backs. We're all fighting the same battles more times than not. So again, we thought it was a great opportunity to really call out the stressful year that we've had and talk about mental health in agriculture. There can certainly be a stigma associated with talking around mental health. So we're trying to kibosh that stigma, right? Let's put it to the side. And again, let's really focus on the problems that we're facing in agriculture today. Let's talk about the issues that we're having. So what we've done is we're partnering with other organizations in our industry, but we're also putting together different tools and resources so that farmers can go to and see, one, how to manage their own stress and their own mental health, whether that's talking to a spouse, a family member, a friend, clergy, whether that's just going on a walk, you know, taking 5 minutes and really focusing on you. We want folks to know that's okay. If you need 5 minutes, please absolutely take 5 minutes. Do whatever you need to do to be right. And we're also trying to just call out the fact that, guys, it's okay to not be okay. I know we hear that all the time, but especially within ag communities, right, we can be so tough, you know, and so prideful. And again, farmers are some of the most pride-filled people I've ever met in my life. But if there's stress going on, if there's mental health issues, we need to ensure that we're talking about it and we're being a voice for it. So we're really trying to encourage all farmers out there, anybody in really rural ag communities, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to focus on your mental health, let's make sure we're taking the time and we're doing just that.
Yeah, and are you encouraging farmers that are working with some Bayer agronomists to maybe reach out to them and say, hey, I just kind of need to unload real quick. Can I talk to you? Or are you trying to send them a kind of in a different direction to have maybe some mental health professionals help them during these tough times?
Yeah, it's a good call out. So I'm not a mental health expert. Our agronomists, our seed reps, our employees are not mental health experts. Now, that being said, just the year that we've had a lot of our dealer customers, a lot of our grower customers have come to our own Bayer employees and talked about what a hard time they're having this year, the stress that they're having. And so in return, that puts a lot of weight on our own Bayer employees. So what we're looking at doing in the future is definitely equipping and educating our employees with the tools that they need to at least handle some of these conversations and at least point their growers, their dealers in the right direction of professional mental health experts to really make sure that they've got what they need in order to deal with the problems that they're having.
Yeah, and Bayer's really the first company in this space to do something like this. What kind of message are you trying to send to growers by putting this initiative together?
Well, while we might be the only ones really coming out and talking about it, the reality is this is an elephant in the room of the agriculture industry, right? We all fully acknowledge the issues that we're having around mental health this year. So again, we just felt it was the right time to really come forward and start talking about it. So again, while we might be the only real company talking about it today, I don't think that'll be the case in the near future. As we're looking at partnering with other organizations and again, seeing how we can come together as an industry to provide assistance and address the issues that we're all facing head on.
And AJ, what's the best way for producers to find more information about what they should do if they're kind of feeling burdened by all the things that are happening in agriculture today?
So I think those farmers definitely need to identify what works best for you as far as unloading that stress and relieving that stress. Find out what works for you. What we have done is we have put together a website dedicated specifically to different tools and resources that farmers and ag communities can really take advantage of to manage their own mental health and their own stress. That website is AcceleronSAS.com/farmstateofmind. The other thing that we're encouraging folks to do is join us with the hashtag farmstateofmind on social media. Go to Facebook, Twitter, what have you, and share your story of how you've been dealing with stress this year, how your mental health is, and maybe as a farmer, if you're not comfortable sharing that yourself, you can go and check out that hashtag Farm State of Mind to see other people's stories and might be similar to your own and maybe find that inspiration that you might need to seek help and make sure you're getting the help that you absolutely need.
All right, AJ, that's all the questions I had for you. Anything else you'd like to add today?
No, again, I encourage everybody to make sure that you're taking care of your mental health. It's just as important as your financial well-being, your physical health. Yet many more times than not, we overlook that. So make sure you're doing what you need to do to, again, really focus on what matters in life, and that's you and your mental health.
Now remember, it's okay to not be okay. If you're struggling with anxiety, depression, or another mental health challenge, know that you are not alone.
a healthy farm is nothing without a healthy you. To learn how to better manage your mental health, visit AcceleronSAS.com/farmstateofmind. I'm Anna Hofstert, farm broadcaster for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Stay tuned for more Week in Ag Matters.
How many acres are you keeping an eye on? Another pair of eyes could be very helpful in protecting your ROI, especially ones that are highly trained. And that's what you'll get with an FS Crop Specialist. They can spot issues you might not even know you have using the latest technology, including thermal, drone, and NDVI imaging. Then they can get an early treatment plan started. Contact your local FS Crop Specialist to learn more about our crop scouting services. It's one more way FS is bringing you what's next.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here again is Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. You know, a lot of the challenges farmers are facing here in 2019 and looking ahead to 2020 are things that the government is involved in, whether that's trade, whether that's ethanol and demand for corn, or whether it's getting high-speed internet out to rural areas. During the Farm Progress Show, I had a chance to sit down with Chuck Spencer of GrowMark. He is a government relations person there. And we talked about these issues and also the fact that it is up to farmers to keep knocking at the doors or writing letters to their elected representatives. Let's listen into that talk. I'm with Chuck Spencer, going to talk a little government relations here today. Chuck, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Dustin, appreciate that. And you know, there's always something going on in the government relations world.
I wouldn't know that watching the agriculture industry today, that something's going on in the government. But yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm sure you're hearing from your customers and producers around here that are coming to visit that they're concerned about.
Oh, yes, there are. And you know, that comes in part as a constant drumbeat as a manager of a small business. You know so many aspects and facets of the business that you're in, and being an advocate for yourself is something that agriculturalists do very, very well. And you know, the regulators and the policy leaders listen to farmers because they understand how engaged and involved they are with their communities.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You go to these small rural communities, everybody thrives on how agriculture is doing. I mean, I used to work in a lumber yard. Nobody was buying lumber to redo their house or fix the buildings, or nobody bought a new truck in town at the dealership or spent extra money on more frivolities at the grocery store when they didn't have money.
They did not. And, you know, growing up on a farm myself, we understand that when you have challenging years, how to tighten belts. And that's something that you don't always see in all sectors, but we certainly know in agriculture how to do that. But I think overall people are trying to manage and are managing the best they possibly can. We're seeing that. There's a lot of variability in the crop this year. There's a lot of then discussion about what we're going to see for a 19 harvest, a 19 planting season for 20. And I think farmers are doing everything they can right now, not only to share with each other, but share with their professionals, their crop specialists, consultants, and plan for what they can see as a good business outcome for next year.
I'm sure one of the topics that has come up is trade. We can touch on that just a little bit. Trade is definitely a concern of the American farmer right now.
There's no question, because everybody wants to see higher prices. And when prices go down, there's a number of things that are of concern. We need the consistency of announcements. It's good to get the Japan deal announced and out there, give some optimism. Now we have the opportunity to pass the United States-Canada-Mexico trade agreement. And all indications by a number of legislative leaders on both sides are there's interest in either getting to yes or passing it. And many people are already there at the pass, I want to pass it stage. That would be a good signal for the marketplace at this point in time, something that we need. And that's what's important about an in-district work period. There's going to be members of Congress and the U.S. Senate back in the state talking to members within their districts, within the communities in which they're going to be walking, parades that they're going to be in over Labor Day. What a time to send that message right now, Dustin, that we need a trade agreement passed, and we're looking forward to you going back to Washington, D.C. and taking action.
All right. And now also we talk about trade. We also talk about the RFS. We talk about ethanol and you guys doing a lot in the fuel industry there. I mean, that is a big topic for you guys.
It is. I mean, we are fortunate to distribute a lot of fuel across this country. And we were also one of the first to have E15 at the terminal level. So when that waiver came through for summer blend period for E15, and any vehicle 2001 newer can handle the E15. That should be a really good opportunity for so many people, and particularly in Iowa, where ethanol is fairly well supported, and people use it, we grow it. It's an opportunity for us in the marketplace during these times. So we want to see the opportunities to take advantage of that and continue its promotion and its growth.
You know, we talk about that, getting that E15, but also you got the turnaround on the other side, and now you're seeing these small refinery waivers, which we did get some encouraging news out here. But, you know, is it going to be enough to get things turning back in the right direction?
Well, we're going to see. It's, you know, we just got done talking about how the members of Congress and legislators, leaders, political leaders of a party, are listening to what Iowans are saying. And then we learn that the administration is hearing the frustration in farm country about those exemptions for refineries from the renewable fuel standard. And it sounds like there will be some type of a fine-tuning on this that may bring more gallons of biofuels into the marketplace. That would be very welcome news. And that would be something that's super important at this point in time.
And another thing we're going to talk about is we go around this ground and we see all this technology. You know, we have even you guys with your apps, you know, talking about, you know, scouting fields and getting pictures and real-time, you know, analysis of the crops. You've got yield estimator apps. You've got stuff in the cab. It's amazing what we're doing with technology. The problem is, are we going to be able to use it anytime soon?
That's the big question, because when people hear you and I talking about technology and they look down at their cell phone and it's got no service blasting on it, that gets everybody a little bit frustrated. And that's one of the things we know across Iowa. Rural communities are vibrant. They have a fantastic workforce. And what we need to attract business opportunities in, to keep our youth and actually a number of individuals in rural Iowa, are the opportunities to be able to communicate, to be able to do business, to educate. I mean, what I've heard the stories about high school students going to a local restaurant to be able to get internet to email their homework in. We've got to change that dynamic. And I think that's one of the things that could unify so many individuals from the standpoint of rural development authorities. Lieutenant Governor Greg was here yesterday at the Farm Progress Show. What a wonderful message he continues to deliver for Iowa and his future look of what they would like to see done for connectivity in Iowa. How can they align with the Iowa Rural Development Authority from the USDA, in which there's also broadband and connectivity funding? How can we leverage, is the question that I keep proposing, get the universities connecting with the rural development entities, both in the state and at USDA level in the state, and then aligning them to where we can leverage and utilize one another to make the big advancement?
Yeah, I mean, you said that's, you talked about the education. I mean, these, we're training the leaders of tomorrow, and, you know, textbook companies are going away from printed books. That's not just in big cities. That's going to be everywhere, and these kids can't be spending 2 hours downloading a 10-minute video lesson.
You are so right, and here we are. You know, people are talking about self-driving cars and trucks, and we're living that right now. I mean, we have driver-assisted autonomous vehicles because we flip switches and then everything takes over while we monitor from the seat. But as we know, there are vehicles that would shadow the operator. So that way you would have an operator in the field, but you would have an autonomous vehicle next to you in the field communicating and doing field work. So one person doing the job of what used to be two people. And we need that type of efficiency gains to be competitive globally, to be just competitive with other of our trading partners. And that's what's going to be important. It keeps us productive. It makes us have the opportunity to advance. And then also, if we can have autonomy with some of the new machinery that we have or robotic equipment, we'll be able then to also replace labor that we may have in short supply in some areas. But I think overall this provides growth opportunities, and I'd like to see the growth opportunity and jobs come to states first.
You know, and we talked about these three big topics today, and every one of them has a common thread going through, and you mentioned it every single time. People need to be talking to their representatives. You know, I remember hearing from Representative Colin Peterson when I still lived in Minnesota. He said, if you don't talk to me, I'm going to make the decisions on my own. It's your job, not mine, to tell me what needs to be done. And I think we all have got to get better at that. I think that's one thing. We love to complain, but we don't always offer the solutions, or we don't always do something constructive to help get that message across.
The best solutions come from everyday people living the experience. And that's exactly what we have, representative forms of government. And since they are representing you as a constituent, if we don't tell them, they can't represent us. So your point is critical. We do have simple conversation. This is not complex. It's telling the representative, elected leader, what your experience is, and then discussing some of the better ways or best ways to address it. And that's how the greatest of ideas occur.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about last week at an event, everybody has the legal right to send an email to the White House if they want to get their voice heard. We have been able to communicate with the president since the dawn of the country. We can be able to get our voice heard one way, shape, or form. We just got to remember we can take advantage of it.
Absolutely. It's never been easier from that standpoint. And yes, people do review them. I know them. I've talked to people. I've known them over their career where they started. And they start in the front office answering phones, answering emails, being a correspondent for an elected leader, and it is also within the White House. So I've had FS members send me copies of letters from the White House on something that they've written on, and I've had letters from the senators, from members of Congress. It is real. It does happen. So, you know, like you said, we need to look at it more casually, no different than you and I talking here, how easy it is. I think that's the way we need to look at how we can have a conversation with an elected leader.
All right, well, Chuck, I thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us here today.
Dustin, thank you for the opportunity.
That was Chuck Spencer of Growmark FS. He's a government relations official there. We'll be back on Weekend Ag Matters right after the break.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here is Ken Root.
A job is a sacred thing to me. I grew up in a poor but proud rural household with parents who believed your character and honor were wrapped up in the job you did for yourself and others. Be it farm work or other employment, the goal was to work honorably. A job was a moral and financial contract between both parties. There are fewer people who operate under this premise today in a world that's far more complex than my youth. It seems everyone, from politicians to the least of our society, wants to exploit the social system with the word jobs being a rallying cry for the masses, but not a serious commitment from government or employee. The most recent Labor Department jobs report was viewed as optimistic by analysts. It showed jobs were created and a 3.7% unemployment rate is all we have. The experts said we're close to full employment at that level. I don't think there's another business index that is cooked any more than job numbers. According to the measurement, if I have given up looking for a job, then I'm not counted as unemployed. What else am I? How can full employment still mean 37 out of 1,000 people who want to work are out of work? It's clearly the goal of this society to get a safety net under everyone, not just for the protection of the down and out, but for the political power such a block of potential voters can bring. Today, a person may choose not to take a job because the deal from the government is better. Industries where work is hot, heavy, and dirty are having a hard time finding entry-level employees because the benefits from government, with no work required, are greater than the salary they would make. In desperation, industry has brought in immigrant labor that may or may not be legal. If that source is not available, they begin replacing people with robots. If capital is available, most factories will accomplish this so they can insulate themselves from a shrinking workforce and competition from government. The need of business today is for people with skills and a good work ethic. Most specialization is learned on the job, but an educational background and the ability to show up and do a job every day are critical to productivity. Government programs to provide assistance to the unemployed or underemployed in the form of job training can be successful, but political and social trends are degrading our work ethic as we no longer condemn sloth and laziness, but reward it. I contend this country was founded on the principle of freedom to fail. The initial framework of government encouraged free enterprise, with benefit from profits generated through ingenuity and hard work. The prospect of failure encouraged citizens to work hard to succeed. Today, however, parents and government give far more latitude to our younger generation in how long they can be dependent on us rather than risk themselves in the workplace. I can rant about how hard we worked and how lazy the current generation is turning out, but it's not totally true. I see a sizable number of young people who are as work brittle as my generation, but I also see a portion who have no interest in anything more than just getting by. The challenge of the future is for government and society to not damage workers by rewarding the non-workers. In simple fact, taxes have to go up if more people are on government assistance. As that happens, the working class is penalized and the welfare class is rewarded. Eventually, the workers look up and realize they'd be better off to stop working. What happens after that? I'm very concerned about the mindset of politicians who appeal to the unemployed by promising them a livelihood that approximates that of those who have full-time jobs. The potential for this group to vote as a block is huge. In the coming election, there are about 47 million people who were on government assistance for part of the period from 2009 to 2016. What will their tendency be? Who will they vote for? Those who assure similar assistance in another recession, or one who scorns their plight? Once elected, a politician has to gain the money to satisfy his or her constituency, and that revenue has to come from those who work. As the number of real workers declines, the tax base will come from a smaller group, and the spiral into oblivion begins. We may be educating our children beyond their level of learning, but perhaps a little less philosophy and a little more sweat might be appropriate. Teaching kids the value of work will bring them far greater rewards. In the words of philosopher John Locke, all wealth is the product of labor. For Weekend Ag Matters, I'm the opinionated Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Thanks, Ken, and that's it for this edition of Weekend Ag Matters. We thank you for tuning in. Of course, you can find a playback of this episode and all of our news stories throughout the week at iowaagnet.com. On behalf of myself, Anna Hastert, and Ken Root here at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Studios in Des Moines, we wish you a great week ahead, and we'll see you back here next week.